Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Mr. Excitement, Bill Hubbard, is our special guest this hour. William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, which I'm holding in my hand. Bill is the founder and the president of Hubbard & Associates, a human resources management firm, management consulting firm, I should say. He's got way over 20 years experience in human resources management, including positions in industry, government, and consulting. And he operates his business near to Chicago, Illinois. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Bill, I'm looking at some information I have on you, and it says over 20 years, but let's be honest. It's way over 20 years, isn't it?
As in most issues, I stopped counting after 21.
Bill, I've got your picture here, and I see the gray hair.
Yes, that's the reason.
I've got so much gray hair. People don't ask me how long I've been in business. They can tell.
it's been well over 25 years.
Yeah, they can tell just by looking, can't they?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining us again, Bill. And by the way, folks, as I mentioned, Bill is a member of our Brain Trust. He joins us at least once a month to talk to us about human resources issues that are important to you and to me. And one of the things that you got on your mind, Bill, today is something you call cyber slacking. That's a new word.
Well, kind of coined a new term, and actually I don't know if I want to say that I've originated it, but I happened to come across it one day and have encountered more and more issues that seem to relate to that. Everybody these days has a computer terminal on their desk, and so many instances that computer terminal is now wired or has access to the internet.
Right.
And in many cases, this is a very good, very useful tool, but it's been misused from time to time.
And you know, I own my company, and I have all the things that you just said sitting on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I do use my computer to find information. But I find that if I try to do anything more than just literally going after a particular objective, trying to find a certain piece of information, anything else becomes very tedious and time consuming.
That's true.
And so I don't do that.
I've experienced the same thing. Essentially, is if I'm looking for something, I'll do a very narrow, I guess I would describe it as a narrow internet search. I have a specific thing in mind, and I'm looking for that one specific item or that one specific website.
Yep.
I go straight to that particular point. I try to survey the site to get the information I need. Maybe I'll print some data if there's something I can print off of there, or download some data, and then click, I'm off, and I'm on to the next activity.
But after a while, you find that you identify the dozen or so or more sites that almost always have something or at least a link to the kind of information you're likely to need in the future, and you bookmark that.
That's basically it. I would say that's really one of the keys, because one of my suggestions with this whole process is to train those employees that are doing this to do it carefully, quickly, and efficiently. And
yeah,
you've just identified one of the key.
Well, let's don't give that away yet, because one other thing I was going to say, Bill, is that whenever I feel like I really want to find some information, and I know it's going to be tough to find, mm-hmm, and I'm talking about stuff that's important to the business. I'm not talking about some esoteric, frivolous thing that I just would like to know or would be fun to have. Whenever I have anything that I think is going to take some time, I wait till I go home. I have a laptop at home, and while I'm watching television, I kind of surf around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, I don't feel like if it takes me 2 hours to find one piece of information, I don't feel like I've wasted a lot of time, because it might have been time that I was just going to be sitting there, you know, watching television anyway.
That's a good point.
But what cyber slacking is the opposite of what I just said, isn't it?
Basically, it is. It's Joe Blow at the office or Mary Smith at the office, and you're expecting them to be doing work, and they're on the computer, and they're zipping around and kind of surfing the net looking for this or looking for that, or finding some games to download and then bringing those games into the system and playing games, or having some of the games are actually real-time games that you can participate directly on the net. So there's all kinds of different kind of things that they can get into that are really, it's not work, and they're there to work, and you're paying them to be working.
Well, I'll tell you, email is one of the greatest productivity tools that we've had in our culture and in our marketplace since the telephone. I mean, sure. It's just incredible how much more productive you and I are, Bill. I know you use it. I use it all the time, mm-hmm. how much more productive we are. But you have to learn to manage it, don't you? I mean, you really have to learn how to manage it. And as your employees are more and more connected, as they become more and more connected to people out there in cyberspace, they're going to be getting more and more personal email from people they met while they were working with you, maybe vendors or customers or whatever, and they develop some kind of another relationship with them. And when I say that, I mean other than business, mm-hmm. or they've got just personal email, and that's where the problem comes in at work, isn't it, with email?
It is really one of the key problems, and I know one individual at one organization, and he spends probably a major part of his day coordinating the activities of his hockey team.
What?
His ice hockey team.
That's what he does while he's working.
This is what he's allegedly working. Yeah, well, he's allegedly working, and he's a real computer buff, and he's got all the tools and the whistles and the bells at work, and he'll make a few phone calls in terms of some business things, but then the next thing you know, he's keying up his all of his hockey team members and scheduling practice and rah-rah about the team they beat last week and who they're going to beat the next week and what the strategies are going to be. And it just seems like half of his day is coordinating this hockey off. It's not even a job-related hockey team.
And this is something that goes on every day?
Yeah, it is.
How do you know this?
I have a very close friend who works for him.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is an owner?
He's a manager in a company.
He's a manager of a company. I see. Wow. I would say if that were found out by the people he works for, that would be termination.
In my mind, it really should be. And it opens up another whole issue of having all these kinds of equipment and devices, and are they used for work or used for personal? And that's part of what we need to define.
Yeah. Stand by, Bill. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the really insidious things that are available to employees, really to all of us, on the Internet. One of them are jokes. Another one is games and things like that. We're going to talk about that, how to manage that, when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. All right, we are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Hubbard, William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, is our special guest. Bill, give us your website, please.
Yeah, sure. www.hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
Two B's and two T's. And if someone wanted to contact you to do business with you, have you helped them with their human resources, whether it be policy manuals or hiring policies or firing policies or whatever it might be, how would they contact you?
Well, they can reach me at the website. They can call me at 630-513-9494.
Okay.
Or they can email me. There's a link at the website, wshubbard@hubbard.com.
Okay, thank you. And folks, we're talking about this wonderful tool, the Internet, that has come into our lives and has changed everything. And Bill, we've just scratched the surface. I mean, we're just barely. It's on everyone's lips. I mean, someone's going to name their child .com, you know, sometime this year probably.
That's right.
And so it's just really changed everything. But the truth is, we've only seen the tip. I mean, just the bare tip of the iceberg compared to what it's going to be 5 or 10 years from now. And yet already it has the potential to affect our office environment, our work environment, in a negative way through something you term cyber slacking. And one of the things that I promised the audience we'd talk about when we came back were some of these insidious things that find their way into our company's computer screens. You know, Bill, you got an employee that's a good employee, and they've developed this relationship with this customer out there,
mm-hmm.
and they email back and forth, and so much business is done that way, so much coordinating and expediting of orders and things like that. And the relationships are being built that way. And then all of a sudden, this employee starts getting jokes from the customer.
Right.
Now, this customer is an employee of the customer, really. Like your employee is an employee of your company.
Mm-hmm.
And so before long, one of your employees is getting jokes in. And I have some friends who were sending me dozens of jokes every week.
Mm-hmm.
on my business email address, I had to call them and say, look, I love jokes, but don't send me any more jokes to that address. Here's a personal site. Here's another address. Send them to that address, which I almost never go to. I love jokes as much. I love jokes as much as anyone does, but this was, I mean, I couldn't read them. There were just so many of them that you just become inundated, and that's what happens to some of our employees sometimes.
And it takes time to download those, and from your standpoint, that's a waste of your time.
Right.
When you consider the other side of that phone line, that individual is certainly wasting a lot of his employer's time transmitting that information around. And I've been the recipient of some of those as well. And then some of these are, well, you open up this and it opens up some other file, and that can sometimes be another whole Pandora's box of what's contained inside some of these files that you receive in email.
I gotta have a little dinner group that gets together just for an informal meal on Friday evenings after work on Friday, mm-hmm. a bunch of old friends. And almost every Friday, somebody's got a handful of these jokes that they've received during the week. It's a major topic of conversation. And you know, another thing to remember, Bill, this is a serious issue here. When you're receiving some of this stuff that's not really pertinent to the business, you could be downloading viruses into the business.
Exactly.
Into the computer system.
Some of these things that contain files are oftentimes the way that these viruses are hidden.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I wanted to infect someone's systems and I knew how to write a virus, one of the ways may be to attach it to a really great joke or something.
Because
you know that's going to get spread around.
That's true. Watch your competitor.
Absolutely, no question about it. Okay, another thing that you reported was that, and this is really scary, Bill, and that is about an employee who was arrested.
This is true, and I learned this one recently from a client that I've done some work for, and his business in part relates to an area that we'll talk about in a moment. But he was talking about a client who got arrested for downloading pornography.
Man. And you know, I mean, think about this. 5 years ago, this wasn't something that an employer had to deal with.
No.
This is all new stuff. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after. When we come back, we're going to talk about... Bill's going to give us some ways to handle all this, to manage all this, so that something like this doesn't happen, as likely to happen, I should say, in your business. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest. We are back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill Hubbard is our special guest. He is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, a book that I recommend to you. It's available in bookstores and online, Bill. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Online at the website bookstores. There's information on it on my website as well.
Okay, which is hubbard.com.
.com, right.
Okay. Bill, we were talking about some of the really ugly things that could happen from people cyber slacking, people who are your employees who should be working, and instead they're playing games, they're sending frivolous personal email, they're engaging in conversations back and forth with people that aren't being productive. But we actually mentioned I mentioned one thing that could really be bad, and this is where an employee that in a business that you're familiar with actually was arrested for downloading pornography and some really bad stuff, and was actually arrested for doing that. You never know what's going on there, but there are other issues there, aren't there?
There's a lot of issues, and part of on the pornography one of the things that my associate was telling me about was with that type of information, number one, it's illegal to possess or to own that.
Now you're talking about child pornography.
Child pornography,
yes.
Yeah. So this was an individual who was downloading child pornography on the company's computers, and the police are growing in terms of their awareness of this whole.
Oh yeah, they can track those. They can track that very easily.
Tracking it, and then they're catching these people that are doing this. And in this one instance, they literally came into the workplace, arrested the employee at the work site, and then were in the process of taking all of the company's. As evidence, taking the company's computers.
Because it had files on the hard drives.
Exactly.
He had downloaded files into the hard drive.
Exactly. And if they arrest a person in their home, they take that computer as evidence. Well, this was exactly what was going to happen at this company's work site. And that, in a sense, meant this individual's business, all of those computers and all of that business data was going to be yanked out that very day.
What happened?
And the feedback I got was he got into some legal negotiations that basically allowed him to take the one terminal.
Yeah.
But not the rest of the system.
Right.
They were ready to take that pulse.
Unless that company was on some kind of a central server, it would have likely only been on his computer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't recall all the details. But it just shows the repercussions of this type of thing and the significance of it. And
did that employer have any exposure?
My understanding is that there was some potential exposure in part because of losing the computers.
Well, but I mean, from a standpoint of you know, you and I've talked about the sexual harassment situations where the employer didn't know anything about this going on, but because you know, for whatever reason, that the plaintiff was able to extend the charges to the employer as well. Is there anything like that? Any kind of extension to the employer in a case like this?
This one's new territory. I can respond on that one at this point.
Like you say, it's hard to say, isn't it?
It would depend on where that trail leads, and
which makes it even scarier because I mean, it would probably just be up to the discretion of the district attorney.
Exactly. They're going to pursue to address the problem, and if they show some sort of compliance or some sort of knowledge on the part of the employer, then there's a liability. If the employer can show that he was clean and didn't know anything about it and it was contrary to his policy and the individual was violating company policy, then that would certainly help in his defense.
What are some things that we can do in our company to avoid these kinds of problems and to make sure that our employees are using the tools that we give them productively and for the benefit of the company?
One of the key things really is to define and to communicate to employees a policy about how your computers are to be used, about how email is to be used, about how internet is to be used. And one of the elements of that decision is this for a business purpose, or do we allow or permit any degree of personal use? And as we're talking today, that it would seem to me the argument would tend to push towards, it's a business tool on business time, you better use it for business purpose and avoid these personal kinds of communications.
What about, have you seen any companies literally limiting who and identifying who has internet access?
I recommend that as one of the issues. In other words, if internet access is part of an individual's job responsibility, either in terms of researching data or communicating information, then these are the people that should be authorized to use that internet system and the internet access. And they have appropriate passwords or other computer controls that go to designated individuals. They're the ones that can access the system. It's part of their job responsibility. The rest of us, it's not, and therefore it's not something we should be doing.
Hmm.
Just like with our other computer systems, we don't open up all of our entire books to everybody on there. Certain people see payroll, certain people see payables, certain people see receivables, certain people see orders.
Certainly, there are a lot of jobs out there that other than access to email, which has become very productive, as we mentioned earlier in the hour, with dealing with customers and dealing with vendors, that sort of thing, other than that, there really isn't any reason for them to need computer internet access during the day. But how do you limit internet? How do you make email available to them without limiting and still limit internet access? That's another subject. We're going to talk about some more things that you can do to help control this when we come back after these messages. It's 39 after the hour. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Bill Hubbard is our special guest. He's a member of our Brain Trust and our human resources expert for the Small Business Advocate Show. We're talking about how to control internet access, the use of the internet on in your workplace. And Bill, do you know of any software, any capability that will allow you to control how your internet connection is used?
Yes, I do. There is software. I think it's referred to as Cyber Sentinel. And I'm familiar
Is that the trade name?
That is the trade name of it.
Cyber Sentinel.
And it is a software that is designed to it's installed on the computer, and then it's designed to monitor certain subjects or certain websites. And when
you know, I think I have. I think I've. In fact, now you know what. I think a year or so ago we may have had a little bit of a show on that. Now that I think about it, is this the one where it sits there and it only picks up certain keywords?
That's my understanding is how it works. Is it?
Yeah.
It picks up on the keywords.
I remember now.
And then what it does is it can. Number one is it gives a report to the employer, and number two is it can be set up to either stall or shut down the system or come up with an error message that tells the employee this is not a correct site to visit.
Yeah. Yeah,
you must escape and go on to other activities, and then
right.
The employee tries.
It would have keywords that would a lot of them would probably involve pornography type of words.
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another version that's available for use in the home, for
you
the
know,
parent to control the child's access.
One of the things that you reported. Tell us about this magazine. Men's magazine, that the site that was hit so much. Tell us about how much productivity was lost there.
Oh, man. There was a study that was done, I think back in, this goes a couple of years ago, and the number of websites to a men's magazine, I won't give them a plug.
You meant the number of hits.
But it was, it seems to me it was like 13,000 hits, or the equivalent of 13,000 hours of lost productivity time.
Yeah, the 13,000, according to what you were telling me, was not how many hits. That was how much lost productivity in 1 month.
Yeah, 13,000 hours in a month of employees at companies going hits to this men's magazine.
That was to one magazine, and there are thousands of these sites.
Exactly. So it just shows how there's a lot of time lost on the job, and something like this Cyber Sentinel tool certainly can be a very good tool to kind of control use of how the sites are going to be used.
Now, it's very important that as you're working, it's very important to go ahead and get these kind of policies installed in your business, isn't it? Because the longer you wait, the more it becomes an insidious part of your culture and your business for people to be able to do these things.
It really is, because people get so used to using it, so used to accessing different kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
and having oftentimes inappropriate communication or email, and we were talking a moment ago about dirty jokes, and sometimes this can very readily slide into sexually oriented communication, which can lead into sexual harassment kinds of claims.
Yeah.
And these are all very real problems which the employer can be found liable for. So it's important to define a policy, communicate that policy, and show uniform, fair administration of the policy.
How would sexual harassment become involved in this topic?
The email issue, basically the personal email. Two people are communicating back and forth, and one has designs or interests in another, and starts sending messages that are suggestive or provocative,
mm-hmm.
or very literally sexually oriented and inappropriate.
Yeah, you can send all kinds of pictures and forward all kinds of files that you might get, and someone might send somebody something like that was just trying to see if they could get a reaction, and it might be the wrong reaction.
Very literally, and that person can the recipient of that can say, well, this is sexual harassment. If you're lucky, they're going to tell you and ask you to help it stop. If you're not so lucky, they're going to go downtown and file their complaint with the Equal Opportunity Commission or the State Human Rights Commission, and the next thing you know, you've got a state or a government investigator at your door,
mm-hmm.
saying, we understand there's a sexual harassment claim, and we're going to begin this investigation.
What about a policy? What about a written policy? Have you got something like that you work with?
As a matter of fact, I do, and let me offer this for the readers. If they'd like to get a sample, give us a call at the station or drop a line to my website, or to the Small Business Advocate website and have it linked on over to mine, and we'll send you a sample policy on Internet issues.
All right, good. Yeah, I appreciate that. And folks, if you'll go to Bill's website, or which is Hubbert, it's just Hubbert.com?
Hubbert.com.
Hubbert with two B's and two T's.
Right.
And or you can go to my site, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and send me an email if you want, or go to my site and link to Bill's site, and however you want to do it. But if you'd like to have the copy of that, Bill, thank you for making that available. Another thing that's really important in controlling Internet access is this confidentiality thing. I mean, if someone can send email at will all over the place, then they may be able to access all these. You can forward all kinds of, you can forward almost all computer files.
Right.
So if there's some confidential document that an employee is working on, they could forward that to anyone over the internet.
They can, and one of the things that I really advise clients is not to send confidential information through the internet because it's not secure.
Is that Cyber Sentinel? Is it capable of putting in key company words so if that goes out that it would stop it?
I would think that it's possible. Yeah.
Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about how privacy plays into all this. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Lassingame, Small Business Advocate. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Bill Hubbard is our special guest and our good friend. He's a member of our Brain Trust and the president of Hubbard & Associates. His website is hubbard.com. That's with two B's and two T's. We're talking about how to manage access to the internet by your employees, how to make sure that they're productive when they use it. And Bill, you recommend that the company start out with a policy, a definite policy on who can use the internet, how you use the internet,
exactly.
What things will be required of you, and what circumstances will befall you if you misuse this capability.
It is really important to tell employees that this is a business purpose. It's a business tool. Here's things that you can and should use it for, and here's things that you should not use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key things that in part relates to this is also in that policy is to let employees know that we can monitor what these transmissions are and what these computer files are.
Mm-hmm.
And because this kind of leads into this whole workplace privacy issue. And
yeah.
Employees often feel that, well, this is my computer, this is my desk, this is my files, I can do what I want to do. And if you peek into this, you're invading my privacy. And actually, in reality, if you properly define your policy, you protect your prerogatives to monitor and to control how your business tools are used
right.
on the job.
How can you train employees to key employees to help you monitor this kind of activity?
I would say number one is to define that policy and communicate that policy to them. And another key issue is when you're training employees to do their jobs and to do their work procedures, train them properly and make these kinds of issues part of that training. So many times we just hire an employee, we put them at the desk or on the machine and say, okay, get busy, and we really don't show them all of the details of what they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to do that initial training, and here's a good opportunity to cover these kinds of bases with them right off the bat so they learn how to do it correctly and learn what not to do as much as what to do.
Okay.
All important part of that whole employee orientation process. I just am working on another project for a client, an employee attitude survey, and one of their complaints was, nobody trained us. It was sink or swim.
Huh.
And so it really shows the importance of good, careful training. And one of the key, then kind of the question comes up, well, how do we teach our supervisors to train? Well, if you have a good policy in place and some good basic work procedures in place, then your supervisors have something that they can go to say, here's how you do this, here's how you do that. Try that. Come back. I'll monitor how you're doing. If there's questions, see me. And it sets up a groundwork for that whole process to occur.
Yeah. You know, another thing that you can do as managers, as owners, is something that Bill, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it with other guests, and that's MBWA, management by walking around.
Yes, it is.
If your employees, I mean, it's not like you're snooping, but if you're in their lives, if you're part of their day where you're on site and you're walking around a little bit, they're going to be less likely to take advantage of that capability, aren't they?
Yes, they are. If you're walking around, you're going to see what's on the screen.
That's exactly right.
And
yeah.
And you can overhear the conversations, and
yeah.
and not that you're snooping specifically, but you're just there, you're present, you have a better tune for what's going on.
Yeah.
And
Bill, that's got to be the last word. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. As always, you did a great job.
Great.
See you next time.
Good.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, be guilty today of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.